And in the Trump hush money case, prosecution wrapped up yesterday after finishing its cross-examination of Michael Cohen. The defense expects to wrap things up today so we could see both sides resting their case. And it's a good time to kind of take stock of what's happened. Did the prosecution prove its case? Did the defense erode the credibility of the star witness, Michael Cohen, enough to make a difference and ensure a Trump acquittal? Watching all of it with great interest along with us is Matthew Schneider, the leader of investigations in white-collar defense practice at Honigman Law, also the former U.S. attorney for the Eastern District of Michigan. Hello, Matthew.
Good morning, Guy. Thank you for having me back on.
So let's start with the term bombshell is so overused in this trial. I mean, it's a media obsession, but there was an interesting revelation yesterday in Michael Cohen's testimony under cross-examination that he ripped off the boss. He ripped off Donald Trump to the tune of $30,000 in the Trump Organization. What does that do to further erode his credibility?
Well, it certainly does not help the prosecution's case. I mean, think about what a prosecution does with a witness. They need to convince the jury that this is a believable person and that they can believe Michael Cohen. That's really their job. And what we learned about Michael Cohen after 4 days of testimony, including recently, is that he admitted he stole $30,000 from the Trump Organization. We learned, the jury learned, that he previously pleaded guilty to offenses such as lying under oath. And we also learned that he admitted he's secretly been considering running for Congress. I mean, that is certainly not going to make people trust him to think that he wants to run for Congress, right? Setting aside everything else. So they will be thinking he has ulterior motives, that he's not truthful, he's not reliable. That's not what you want for a prosecution witness at all, but that's what they have.
Well, Matt, did he provide the stepping stones to get a felony conviction? I mean, directly tying the former president to the falsification of the business records?
Well, he did provide part of that. He did say that he was told by Trump to pay Stormy Daniels' attorney, and it was money to buy her silence. Now, that is what he said. Let's look at what he didn't say. He didn't say anything about his knowledge about the campaign finance record keeping. He wasn't involved in those filings, and that is really a missing link that the prosecution has. They did a poor job of pulling that out of Michael Cohen. Cohen didn't have anything to say really about that. And they failed to corroborate Cohen in what he did say. So I think that that's not exactly the way they wanted it to play out.
When the defense began its case, they called the New York attorney who had a little tete-a-tete with the judge. What do you think the jurors got out of this? You know, the judge was very upset and sent everyone out.
Yeah, and that seemed pretty justified. They got into a real battle, and essentially, you have to look at it from the juror's perspective. Jurors almost always like the trial judge. They like that person. And so when you have a witness who's speaking over the judge, rolling his eyes, calling the judge names or saying that his rulings are ridiculous, that's disrespectful, and jurors don't like that. So what happened is they took a break, and nobody knows because the media was not in the room. But probably what happened is the judge told Costello, and he could have done this very calmly and quietly, listen, I need to remind you, I have the power to put you in jail. I can hold you in contempt. So it's in your interest to cooperate. And that's probably what happened. I mean, believe me, I've been in that situation before. I once had a judge tell me, one more word out of you and you'll be making your argument from the marshal's lockup. And you didn't have to tell me twice. I got it. And so hopefully the witness here got it and understands and will just provide the testimony without his points of view.
Well, Matthew Schneider, you wild man. I never knew that was in you.
Oh, yeah.
You're so calm in the morning.
Right, exactly. Right. Really. So, I mean, step back, look at this. Let's look at the whole enchilada. Did the prosecution prove its case? If you were in that jury box and you've seen Michael Cohen, warts and all, and have yet to kind of figure out what this underlying crime is, where do you think the jurors are in this case?
Well, you know, your guess is as good as anybody else's, but it really, we haven't seen what we were expecting to see so far, and the prosecution has closed its case. It's rested. There's a lot of discussion about whether or not they failed to prove the campaign finance part. They said a lot of other things. They put a lot of dirt into the mix here. But really, it's about records, and it's about whether Donald Trump was involved in the campaign finance aspect of it. So even if he is convicted by the jury, you know, the judge can still overturn that. And there are appeal issues, and that's based on insufficient evidence of campaign finance records. And he still has this appeal issue about Stormy Daniels and her gratuitous testimony that some say was more prejudicial than probative and shouldn't have been allowed at all. So it's really leaning on the Trump side of this equation.
Matt, closing arguments won't happen until next week because of the holidays. So does either the defense or the prosecution lose momentum because of this break?
No, not in my experience. I mean, that happens sometimes. If you look at trials in American history, sometimes they've gone for months and they've had many breaks for the jury. This is only a 4-day break if they take one, and that's not unusual. And also, you know, think about it. The jury might benefit from that. They might clear their heads. They might rest a little bit, set this aside, and then come back fresh for the closing arguments. And that can actually be a benefit to both sides.
Everyone just assuming Trump's not going to testify, even though he said he doesn't mind doing it.
And he did in his civil case.
Right.
He said that 100 times before. And I bet Costello's their last witness. The prosecution really, you know, has proven what they think they've proven. The defense is saying you haven't shown enough, so why put on more witnesses? You don't need to have President Trump testify. It's really not necessary in this case.
Will there be a request for a directed verdict here?
Yes, absolutely. The defense will make that request. They'll do that soon. They'll do it before closings, and there'll be some argument after closings too. And so the judge can make that ruling either before it goes to the jury or to after. So we're certainly not out of the woods with the defense arguments about a directed verdict.
Yeah, basically saying, look, the prosecution hasn't proven its case. Let's end this thing now.
That's correct, right? Taking it out of the hands of the jury. I've seen that done before as well. I know that it upsets prosecutors, but the judge does have that authority as that power under New York law, and let's see if he does it.
Yeah, given his pronouncements from the bench thus far and his testiness, do you think that there's any likelihood of that?
I think it's relatively unlikely. I think you've got a jury there, a jury of Trump's peers, and the judge is probably thinking, why should I make this my problem? Let's let the juries decide, and it can be their problem. That's most of the time, that's how it happens.
Yeah. All right, Matthew, interesting times. We'll have to have some patience, and we'll see what happens when the defense rests, as they are expected to do later today.
Sounds good. Thank you.
All right, Matthew Schneider at Honigman Law. Coming up, is there now a rift between Central Michigan University and Michigan State after my Chippewas allowed Connor Stallions to go on his sign-stealing exploits at a CMU game? Or did they just invite him in as a scout? Did they know?
Right. Where's
did they
this
know?
Investigation?
We didn't know what he was up to. Boy, Jamie and I are going to have a little discussion about this. Coming up here at 7:49 on AM 760 WJR.